an awesome God we serve. Amen. You are surrounded by a great company of men and women of God that know Jesus made a way. I would not be here if Jesus hadn't made a way. My family would be destroyed if Jesus didn't make a way. Oh, every good and perfect gift has come from above because Jesus has made a way. That's why we worship Him. That's why we love Him. That's why we celebrate Him. Hallelujah! 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 We love you, Jesus! We love you, Jesus! Hallelujah! Praise God. You may be seated if you would like for just a few moments. I do want to say to our guests, I know it was mentioned before, how thrilled we are that you are here worshiping the Lord with us. And the only thing I can imagine, there's a couple things, but one thing for sure I could imagine that would excite me more than just you worshiping with us is you leaving and being able to share with your family, with your friends, Jesus did a miracle in my life. Jesus, on that Sunday, and I mean this sincerely, even if you could not remember the name of the church or you couldn't even remember the name of the person that brought you or invited you or someone you met that was nice when you came in, I think all of that's beautiful. But if you can remember Jesus on that Sunday, He changed everything. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that is here right now. And I really do appreciate those that lead us in worship, from those that step behind this pulpit, those that organize and orchestrate the music and the singers, soloists, each one in the choir. They help us worship Him. We are blessed, amen. We are so blessed because the more we focus on Him, my goodness, we lift Him up, He lifts us up. It's an amazing opportunity. We are blessed. Want to say, Crystal, it's good to see you here today. I'm so thankful you're here. Really thrilled. She is a longtime friend. I assume she came to visit her brother and family. I'm going to pretend you came to see me. That's how I'm going. You don't have to tell me different. You don't have to confirm it. It's just good to see you. And to everyone that's here, it is wonderful to have Jason and Summer, Jason's mom, back home. These are some great folks. They are helping to raise up a church in an area where there's a tremendous struggle and challenges, and they have been through it. But they're here today, and we appreciate the faithfulness to the things of God that is represented by you every time you get together. And we're supporting, we're partners with you. We believe in you, and we know the best is yet to come. Maybe something in the message will confirm that for you, make it worth the drive. Also want to say too, and I know I'm taking a little bit of time, I am almost as aware of some of you of what time it is, but this team that works on Marriage Matters that helped us last night, y'all did an awesome job. It was all of our couples that were there, awesome. We even had one that was there by faith. He said, I'm not married, but I'm believing God for a miracle. And I appreciate that. I'm not going to mention any names, but I love that. I love to see faith. Also, next Saturday morning at 10:30, that means you're going to have to leave Winston-Salem around 9 o'clock just to provide some time to park and get to where the choir will be singing. 10:30 to 11:30 right there on the gospel stage in Taylorsville. Just Google Taylorsville, and when you get there, you'll hear them. From 10:30 to 11:30, we need you there to help us support Grace United Pentecostal Church in Taylorsville. They need us to support them, and we're going to do that. Also, of course, next week, King and Taylorsville on Sunday, as well as Statesville, which is every Sunday. If you want to know more about that, it's not a long drive. If you want, just being there worshiping is a support. And we certainly want Pastor and Sister Myers, their family, to know we are partners with you. And to those that go and you're there weekly, thank you for that. Also, there's some next Sunday, and I know this is dangerous to mention this. Some are already committed to King, Taylorsville, Statesville, and other responsibilities. You can't just forget about that. But if you've got nothing to do next Sunday evening, we have church here in the morning. But in High Point at 6 o'clock, Bishop Wayne Huntley will be preaching. He's one of the most phenomenal preachers. So please take advantage of that and then feel sorry for the rest of us that are working while you're over there playing. No, anyway. No, I'm just kidding about that. And then, of course, I saw it again today. I don't know if there's one up here. Yes, it is. This is just so compelling. It says, we need your help. How many of you have seen that? Just wave your hand if you've seen it. Oh, a few of you have. Okay, we need your help. So please see the foyer table and the sign-up table. The fall festival that's happening here 2 weeks from yesterday is going to blow your socks off. I would wear two pairs of socks. It's going to be that good. And we need your help. As much as you'll have fun, you'll enjoy, this is for our community. And it's our chance to be friendly, to connect. And we want to bless them, just have a good time. And they will come. They may not come to hear me preach. They'll come for candy and cookies and all that. We want them to come and be blessed. Amen. And so help us with that, and that'll be great. I want you to stand. And I know God wants to speak to us today. We're going to pray just after we read a scripture. Also want to say thank you for those of you that have been praying, believing God for great revival here. I know I mentioned these other places, but you are making a difference here, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you for your faithfulness. Reading from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we had at different times two different guest speakers lined up to preach today, and things have happened. Nothing nefarious or evil where they're concerned, but they're just pastors dealing with stuff. And so they're not able to be here. Pray for them when we pray in just a minute that God will bless their churches and all of that. But I know God has a word for us today I want to receive from him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We don't always do this, but let's read this out loud together. Just read it with some passion. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently. My. Wow. I would like to preach for a little bit. Faith makes anything possible. Faith makes anything possible. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Would you pray with passion? In the name of the Lord Jesus, anoint and bless, O God. Anoint and bless, O God. God, don't let my flesh get in the way. Let the gift of faith operate in you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. Because I am certain that faith makes anything possible, I want to make sure everybody in the sanctuary can take advantage of that today. So I just want to review some real simple, straightforward definitions of faith. So you'll know, okay, if I'm going to see anything, I'm going to have that. He's talking right now, faith. So one dictionary definition is this. Faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Complete confidence. I don't have any proof, but I know. I know what God can do. That's faith. Another dictionary, a Bible dictionary, says the conviction of the reality of the truths and facts that God has revealed, and this is the key part, based solely upon the testimony of God. In other words, God has revealed some things through his word that I believe. And the reason why I believe in those things has nothing to do with people, has nothing to do with circumstance. I am simply standing upon the testimony of God. The old timer said, God said it and I believe it. And some say, and that settles it. That's faith, and that kind of faith makes anything possible. It is literally the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the kind of faith that makes anything possible. Substance is a word that literally means as though I am standing under or being supported by. What am I standing on? Right now, I'm standing on this platform. But if I could step out into thin air, I could stand on faith. That's the kind of faith that makes anything possible. When I reach the point in my walk with God where I just believe, God, you said it, and right now I have a situation in my life or in my family where I've got to see the impossible, I'm not standing on anything else but on my faith in you. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever tried that? Anybody can testify, I know I've come this far by faith. Praise God. The reason why I think it's important that we address this today, there's several reasons I might mention here briefly, but one reason is our text says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And if we do end up pleasing him, the rest of that passage says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I get you to consider this with me for just a moment? The love of God is unconditional. There is absolutely nothing you can do to make him love you more or love you less. But there is an indication that there are some rewards that are conditional. That's a tough one. We want to think that God just gives it all out equally, but I'll tell you right now, God loves everybody. He don't love me more than he loves you, or if you all of a sudden get all religious and spiritual, he doesn't love you more than he loves somebody else. But there is an indication that faith gets God's attention. Faith captivates the heart of God until he starts blessing and rewarding and helping on a different level for anybody that has faith. Amen? And so here's the deal. I want all of us today to get to that point in our faith where we can leave here and say, I just got rewarded. Not because I'm better looking than you, not because I got more money than you, not because I'm more religious than you. He just rewarded me because I had faith. He just rewarded me because I just believed in something for which I could not have any proof other than I trust God and I trust his word. I just had a conviction that if it was in the Bible, I could have it in my life. I had confidence solely upon the testimony of God. In other words, when I went to the altar on that Sunday morning, it wasn't because I was confident in the preacher. It wasn't because I was confident in the church, but I was so confident in God. I was so certain that God would meet me that I went up there regardless of proof or no proof, regardless of my own abilities or no ability, regardless of being spiritual or not being spiritual. I just got faith, and faith will be rewarded. Oh, if you've ever been rewarded, if you've ever been rewarded by your faith, could you clap your hands as if to say, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. My thought is this: anybody here or beyond here that believes in God even just a little bit, we ought to seek to believe in Him more. Because the more we believe, the more He blesses. The more we believe, the more He rewards. It just doesn't make sense to stay at the kindergarten level of faith. That's a great place to begin. We all come to God as children, and we believe that He can do what we need Him to do. But let's just continue in the faith that He's given us and believe. You know what? If I come to Him believing, He will minister to me. I think the ramifications are huge when you consider that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Would that not be a tragedy to love God and to know He's real and to believe in Him a little bit, but somewhere to lose your faith or to walk away from your faith, and then you cannot please God? So here you are stuck in limbo. I know there's a God, but I don't see His blessings. I know there's a God, but I'm afraid He cannot help me. Let's get past that today. Even if there's no proof, let's just believe in the testimony of the Word of God. If He said He can heal, He's going to heal me. If He said He would bless, He's going to bless me. If He said He would provide, He's going to provide for me. Amen. I'm a little bit pumped about this, because somebody's going to receive what they need from God today. Look at Luke chapter 18. Jesus Christ shares a parable, and it says, "And He spake a parable unto them." Why did He do it? This is the reason that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not get weary of praying, not get weary of believing. That means the potential is there that you would pray but then get tired of it, that you would believe but then say, what's the use? That's what He's saying. So He tells us a story to kind of motivate us past that little breaking point where we have been, probably all of us. Pastor, I did believe, but it didn't happen. Pastor, I did pray, but nothing changed. That's what Jesus is speaking to right now. And so He tells the story. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto Him saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." This widow had a need, and she knew of someone that could meet the need. And so she went to that someone and said, "You've got to help me. You've got to meet my need." Jesus is telling the story because He knew we would have needs. He knew that there would be something in our life that the only one we could turn to was Him. And that's where faith kicks in. So look at the story real quickly here. He goes on to say, "And the judge would not for a while." That's an important part of this story. For a while. Any of you folks up here, now y'all worship in the choir, so you must never have a problem. Y'all are on the platform, so you must always get your prayers answered lickety-split, huh? Maybe there's somebody that you prayed and nothing changed. You believed and nothing changed. And it took a while. Amen? That's who He's speaking to. Anybody that can relate to the waiting. I've been faithful. I've been full of faith, but I'm waiting. I've been seeking to please him. I've been seeking to trust him, but I'm waiting. I'm still believing, and I'm going to keep believing, but I'm waiting. He's talking to all of you. If that's not you, you can put your headphones on. But if you've ever had to wait for a miracle, if you've ever had to wait for a blessing, or if right now on this Sunday you feel like you are in the waiting room of something God has promised you, he wants you to hear this passage, and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, Jesus is telling this story not because he doesn't love us, not because he doesn't care about us. He's using the worst case scenario. If he was the kind of God that could care less about you, he said you could be in a situation where you thought, now, does God even care about me? But you could use this story as just a little bit of inspiration to say, you know what? Whether God cares about me or not, I'm going to keep on praying. Whether God really thinks I deserve this miracle or not, I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on pressing. Why? Because he will reward my faith. Praise God. Faith like that makes anything possible. So the last part of the story is this. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long time with them. Now look at this verse. He's saying, you think an unjust judge is all that? Think about a God that is just. Think about a God that is holy. Think about a God that cannot lie. So if he says he's a healer, he's a healer. Think about that kind of God. But while you're thinking about that kind of God, note that he said, though he bear long time with us. An unjust judge might put you off for a while, but even a God that loves you, here's the point, he might even test your faith. He's not testing your faith so that you'd give up and walk away from him. He's testing your faith so that you would realize, wow, I remember the day when I prayed and just like that, God answered. But now he's going to help your faith grow by helping you wait just a little bit longer and perhaps a little bit longer than you wanted to wait. But the reality is he will avenge you speedily. When he gets ready to answer, your family and friends are going to be blown away way at how quickly God changes everything. Because faith makes anything possible. And I've got to read this because I think it's so important that nobody walks out of here confused about this story. He ends that passage by saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, you know, Jesus Christ is taking a big risk here. He is deliberately allowing us to go through stuff. He is intentionally allowing us to have to wait on him. And he even gives the little bit of a disclaimer. I don't even know. And he knows all things, but understand, he says, when I return, will I even find faith? He's taken that risk because faith is so powerful that if we ever tap into it, it makes anything possible. So for God, it's worth the risk, because if all we've got is little baby faith, and I'm not trying to minimize or make light of anybody's faith. I think you being here shows great faith. But if we have faith that kind of goes so far in God and then it just stops, we're going to miss out on a whole lot of blessings and victories and the rewards that come from pleasing him. But Jesus Christ is saying, I'll take the risk, because if I ever find somebody that will just believe, faith makes anything possible. And no matter how long I have to wait for my blessing, no matter how long I have to wait for my miracle, no matter how long I've got to wait for my answer, when Jesus comes back, he's going to find I'm still waiting and I'm still believing, I'm still trusting, because he will reward you. Come on, ask, but keep right on asking. Seek, but keep right on seeking. Knock, but keep right on knocking, because faith makes anything possible. Is there anybody that could shout as you clap your hands and say, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. Faith makes anything possible. I'll wait for my answer. I'll wait for my miracle. I'll wait for my blessing, but I'll keep believing. I'll keep praying. I'll keep worshiping. I'll keep trusting. I love this example in the Psalms. Some of you, no doubt, have taken great comfort from these words. Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, the psalmist is getting whipped up by life. In fact, if you study, he's looking at people that don't even serve God, people that don't even believe in God, people that don't even love God, and they look like they're doing pretty good. And the psalmist is getting a little bit confused. If it was me, I'd be getting ticked off, but he's not that carnal. He's like, what's the deal, God? She don't even go to church. She already got the promotion. What's the deal, God? He's a reprobate. He's got a beautiful wife and kids. I can't even get anybody to look at me. That's kind of what the psalmist is going. You can put your life, whatever it is, into his situation. And so he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It really began to shake my faith. And then down at verse 16, it says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I tried to figure it out. I wanted to trust God, but man, it was stressing me out how that evil people were being blessed and my life was just standing still. But verse 17 says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood therein. The psalmist is trying to teach us, your faith is going to get attacked. Your faith is going to get ripped up and spit out. Your faith is going to be something the devil tries to steal from you. But there are literally some simple ways that you can build your faith. There are literally some simple ways that you can guard your faith. And one of those ways is being in the house of God. Another one of those ways is getting in the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And another way is praying in the Holy Ghost, because it builds up your most holy faith. Your faith is so powerful. Your faith is so precious that anything can happen if you've got faith. So get in the house of God. Get in the Word of God. Get in the presence of God and build your faith. Build your faith. I've made a habit of praying for people regardless of how I feel personally. I've even prayed for people that were sick when I was sick. You know why? My faith is so valuable that I got to get in the house of God, and I got to get in the Word of God and get in the presence of God so that my faith will remain strong. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. It's so important that you realize the value of having brothers and sisters that will help you pray. Brothers and sisters that will help you get past the rough spots where your faith is in crisis. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop reading the Bible. No matter how far you feel from God, no matter how long you've waited. I know of people in this sanctuary that went through the kind of crisis where they even didn't know if there was a God. But somehow, some way, they just kept coming to church. They just kept staying connected. And now they would testify, I know God is real. I know his power has touched my family. You know why? Because faith makes anything possible. So protect your faith. Preserve your faith. Get your faith out there where it's growing like a muscle. Practice your faith over and over again. Pray every chance you get. Worship every chance you get. Give it all you got. You know why? Because even though he's making you wait a long time, he will avenge you speedily. He will reward you. If you don't walk in faith, you'll lose everything. If you don't act in faith, you cannot please God. But if you can walk by faith, anything is possible. Oh, could you clap your hands? Now, I found through the Word of God and also through personal experience that praying with fasting increases your faith. That's a tough one for me, maybe not for any of you, but I like to eat. But we see in Scripture an example where even the disciples could not see a miracle happen. And they went to the Lord. In fact, the Lord said unto them, this is Matthew 17 and verse number 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He's talking to his disciples. They've asked the question, why could we not cast out that devil? He said, because of your unbelief. He goes on to say, and you can see it there, if you have faith as just a grain of mustard seed, you don't need a whole lot, but you got to have some. You can speak to a mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, I am sure that somewhere in the world there are some hideous devils that might be hard to cast out. But I don't know if the biggest challenge in that passage is some devil, because there's nothing like the power of the blood of Jesus. There's nothing like the power in the name of Jesus. And this is a little bit more by experience than even by Scripture. I have found the greatest challenge to the church is not devils, it's doubt. And so I want everybody in here that just already through this message, you are reminded and you are believing faith makes anything possible. Faith makes anything possible. And if you're in church and you're in the Word and you're praying in the Spirit, you're doing everything you can to increase your faith, I'd like for you to take the next 30 days and add prayer with fasting to whatever you're doing to move your faith to the next level. I'm not going to tell you how to fast or what to fast from, but just for the next 30 days, if you know just by virtue of this simple message, faith makes anything possible, and I've been in the Word, and I've been in the presence of God, I even been speaking in tongues more than everybody, but I still see some miracles out there, I still see some blessings out there, I still see some rewards out there, and I've got to have it for my life, I've got to have it for my ministry. I've got to have it for my family. I've got to have it for those souls that are lost and going to hell. I've got to have it for anybody that needs anything. And I'm asking you to make some kind of commitment God, I want to incorporate with my prayer some fasting for the next 30 days so that my faith can be at such a level that I can be rewarded like I have never been rewarded. Would you raise your hands and make a commitment to God? If you're just a guest and this is just a little bit much, then just hold on. We'll get back to our regularly scheduled message in just a moment. But there are men and women of God in this place that you know the word of God is true, and you know faith makes anything possible, and you've been in the word, but you still got that need that won't go away. You've been in the presence of God, but you still got that challenge that hasn't changed. You've been trusting the Lord and praying in the Spirit, but your faith has wavered. Would you go to prayer and with it add some fasting and say, in the name of Jesus, I claim every miracle. In the name of Jesus, I claim every reward. In the name of Jesus, I claim every blessing. And Lord, I commit myself to a little bit extra prayer and fasting with the understanding that it is impossible for me to please you without faith. And so I want to elevate my faith so that I can please you on a whole nother level, and so that I can be rewarded. Now I wonder if you would raise your voice and thank the Lord for helping you keep that commitment. Thank the Lord for helping you honor that commitment. And thank the Lord for rewarding you. Praise God. God is ready to take our faith to another level. I don't care how long you've been living for God. God is ready to cause there to be a divine shift for this church family and for individual families and for individuals in particular. God is wanting to reward teenagers and even children and even saints that have served the Lord for a long time, even ministry personnel that have given their life to the call of God. Hear this word from the Lord. God is ready to take your faith to another level because faith makes anything possible. Praise God. Here's where you're going. Some of you may already be there, but let me preach to our church so they know where they're going. We are going to a place where faith becomes a constant attitude or lifestyle for us, where we literally walk by faith and not by sight. I know some of you are already doing this, but that means you're going to walk into school and God's going to prompt you. Somebody's going to say, yeah, my grandmother's been sick, or man, I've been hurting all day. And you're going to say, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Can I pray for you for just about 10 seconds? In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this sickness. Be healed in Jesus' name. And you're going to get the report. They were healed because your faith was at such a level where it became a lifestyle. You're going to see it at school. You're going to see it at work. You're going to see it in the neighborhood. You're going to see it in the family, because faith makes anything possible. We are traveling to a place in God where our faith will be at such a level that we will be unashamed to vocalize what God has promised that he would do. Come on, how many of you still believe that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation? There is something about a confession of faith. I don't know what you've been dealing with, but I believe God's going to hear you right now in the name of Jesus. You've got to speak it by faith. I'm telling you, God is elevating our faith to a level that we don't just think God can heal. We don't just think God can bless, but we speak the healing. We speak the blessing. I'm not just talking about the elders. I'm not just talking about the preachers. I'm saying our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. There are young people like Brother Aaron Correcha. I don't know where he is. He's already prayed for teachers in his school. I'm telling you, this is not limited to age. This is not limited to education. This is not even limited to spirituality. This is the reward of faith. So it becomes our lifestyle. We speak it out and we realize, and we know this, but we put it into action, because faith without works is dead. There's an elder in our church. In fact, it's an elder's wife, Sister D. McBride, gave me the most phenomenal testimony of her and Elder and Sister Bibb praying for someone that doesn't go to this church. But she just took an act of faith. She just took a step of faith. And God met in that time of prayer in a very special way. God is moving and working in the hearts of those people. I don't mention that just to kind of pat her on the back. I'm just saying, I don't remember too many times that she's gotten behind this pulpit and preached a message. She's just a woman of God like all of the other ladies that are here today. Let me tell you something. There is a place for you in the kingdom of God where your faith acts on a whole nother level than just reading about it, just hearing about it, even just worshiping about it. It's time for us to realize faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Would you raise your hand one more time and say, Jesus, I hear my pastor preaching today, and I'm asking you to elevate my faith until it's a lifestyle. Elevate my faith until I'm willing to speak the word. Elevate my faith until I live with the reality that actions speak louder than words. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Now, I believe there's a lot of faith in this sanctuary right now, but I'm preaching to take us to another level. So I don't want you to get this as though I'm slamming down on your faith. No, you would not be here if you didn't have faith. You would not have already been blessed the way you've been blessed if you didn't have great faith. Hey, doesn't it take faith to believe that Jesus died for your sins? Doesn't it take faith to believe that if you repent, he will forgive you for your sins? Doesn't it take faith to believe that if you are baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, all your sins are washed away? Hey, wouldn't it take faith even today for somebody to say, hey, you got any baptismal robes? I'm glad you asked. Yes, we do. Do you have a baptismal tank? Absolutely. The water's been heated, just like bath water, not too cold, not too hot. You mean you would baptize me even though I'm not a member? Oh, yes. All you need is faith. All you need is faith. But if you've got faith in Jesus Christ, we'll baptize you right now. We'll baptize you before you leave, because it takes faith. You get in that baptismal without faith, it really don't matter how many times you take you under. Faith, faith, faith. Doesn't it take faith to believe that when you repent and you're baptized, you will receive the Holy Ghost, just like the Bible says? Is there anybody in here that's ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? Would you raise your hands and wave them as if to say, hey, pastor, look at this. Hey, look around. Look at all the faith. So this message is not to imply that someone doesn't have faith. This message is to release in us an awareness. If there are certain things we've been waiting for God to do, if there are certain things we've been believing God for, it's not time to doubt. It's not time to give up. It's time to make faith our lifestyle. It's time to speak our faith. It's time to put some actions in our faith. And it's time to disregard the obstacles. Think about the faith of Abraham. When God says you're going to be a daddy and he's almost 100 years old, there's a whole lot of obstacles. But he became the father of the faithful. I don't know what kind of sickness. I don't know what kind of circumstance. I don't know what you've been holding on to faith for, but God can do the impossible for you. Faith makes anything possible. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Mark chapter 6. I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but I'd just like to sew this up here. Mark chapter 6. Jesus said unto them, verse number 4, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own house or in his own country, among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and he healed them. Jesus said, you know what? I was limited in the way I could heal people, in the way I could bless people, because they said, oh, we know him. That's just that carpenter's boy. And they were limiting God because they doubted. They doubted based on what they thought they knew about who he was. I am asking this church to join me in a campaign against doubt, that we will not allow those thoughts and those impressions that kind of linger around the atmosphere of our faith, that try to get us convinced that what God needs to do, he won't do for X, Y, Z reason. Or when we have a special guest come by, that's when people are healed instantly. I thank God for our guest, but Jesus is here every service. Jesus is here right now. Jesus goes home with you to your house. Jesus goes to your job. Jesus goes to your school. And so we've got to get those doubts, those thoughts that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God's word and the reality that faith makes anything possible. We're going to have to bring those thoughts and those doubts into subjection and just live in such a way that Jesus can do anything he has ever done. He can do it right now. He can do it right here. He can do it through you. He can do it through me. He can do anything. And if people could limit Jesus with their doubt, how much more could we limit each other? Brother Myers, let's say he's got a sickness. And I don't know. These are all my friends, but boy, if Matthew Tuttle was here, we wouldn't have to worry about the doctor's report. Let's not play that game. Let's not play that. If Chris Green was here, my good, if Charles Robinette was here, we limit Jesus and we limit each other. This also works this way. Man, if I was Chris Green right now, man, if I was Matthew Tuttle right now, right? We limit Jesus, we limit each other, and we limit ourselves. I remember being in a service where I was the guest evangelist, so they were looking at me like I was Matthew Tuttle, like I was Chris Green. They didn't know I was just a regular guy with regular problems like everybody else. They thought, well, he's the evangelist. And I remember somebody coming with a need, and I began to get a little bit shell-shocked because it was obvious to everybody this was a good need. And in my mind, I was thinking, boy, I wish Lee Stone King was here. I wish Billy Cole was here. And I felt like God rebuked me and said, is not Jesus Christ enough to heal that person, to help that person? Am not I enough to answer the prayer? In just a few moments, if you come to this altar for a need and one of these young people, let's say Aaron, because he's right over here, if he comes and puts his hand on your shoulder, do not limit Jesus Christ. Do not limit Brother Aaron. Just believe. Faith makes anything possible. Faith makes anything possible. Just a little commercial here. This is for all of our folks that are seasoned saints. It makes me nervous when we're supposed to be talking to God and praying for people that we're talking to each other. Because not only are you limiting that person, you're limiting yourself. The gifts of the Spirit are available to everybody. And while that conversation is so important that it's got to happen right now, what if the gifts of the Spirit wanted to flow through you and God wanted to use you to bring healing to somebody else? Those conversations are valuable. Those conversations are necessary, especially when there's new people that nobody knows and they don't have a clue what's happened. We need to get to them and make sure they know that we're friendly and that we're here to help them. I'm not talking about conversations with first-time guests. I'm talking about seasoned saints that spend half the altar time just talking to each other about stuff that's not going to matter near as much as what God knows and I know that person's dealing with, that person struggling with. What they need right there is they need your faith. They need the gifts of the Spirit. Don't limit Jesus Christ. Don't limit each other. And don't limit yourself. I don't care who you are in this building. If you've only had the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes, if you see me at the altar, I beg you, if I'm praying, would you come and pray with me? Would you come and help me believe God? You don't know what I need. You don't know what I've been through. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't limit yourself. Whoever you are, get up here and pray a blessing. Get up here and speak a word of faith. Praise God. That was vintage Linder right there. I only bring that old-fashioned lender out every now and then. Used to be every week, but I'm kind of just leaving them back at home. But I bring them out every now and then. Yeah, because he's lonely by himself at home. He's lonely. You didn't know I was bipolar. I don't mean to make light of that. That's a very serious issue, but we all got issues. That's all I'm saying. My issue is this message has gone way longer. God wants to help us because faith makes anything possible. And Elder Bibb was leading us in prayer this morning at 9 o'clock, and I'm not going to get on that, but my goodness, he was saying people are coming that need miracles. People are coming that need victories. And when they come, they don't need to just talk to you. They don't need to just visit with you. That has its place. There will be a time for that. But what they need is for you to speak the word of faith. Pray the prayer of faith. I thank God for elders and their wives, for the ministry and their wives. But every believer shall lay hands on the sick and the... We need teenagers in the altar. We need children in the altar. We need new converts in the altar. We need guests that say, hey, preacher, I know I don't go to this church, but I believe in the power of God, and I want to pray for somebody because faith makes anything possible. You may be seated. I feel like God wants to do something right now. I feel like God wants to do something right now. I got some good stuff here. I'm going to save it for next week. That's going to bless you, and it's really going to bless me. Y'all of you preachers can say amen to that. I'm ready to go for it, too, because I've been wanting to go for it since I got up this morning. And I probably got up before anybody in here. Except for those of you that are going to don't go to bed on Saturday night because you've been out playing. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. God wants to heal somebody today. I don't know who. God doesn't use me that way. There are many times he's given me a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Certainly I speak a word of faith, but I couldn't tell you right now that I know who God wants to heal today, but I know he wants to heal somebody. And so remember that little waiting game? I don't know who's at the end of their wait or who's just starting. I might pray for somebody today and God's saying, you go for it, but I just started them believing. Think about it. I just started their trial yesterday, so I'm gonna build their faith, right? And you don't know either. You don't know where you're at. You don't know if God's got you in a season where you're going to wait and believe and cry and boo-hoo and snot and give up. Or if maybe you're right on the edge of God saying, you have waited and you have been faithful and you have needed me to intervene, and it seems like it's taken forever. And today's the day the prayer will be prayed, and you will see evidence this very week that the situation has changed. We just don't know. We just don't know. So the safest place for us to be is just to believe God's going to do it for me right now. God's going to do it for me right now. I want everybody to stand. If you have pain in your body right now, if you have pain in your, I mean, you can feel, maybe it started this morning or maybe it's been happening for a long time. You have pain in your body right now. I want you to come forward. Just make a line right here. You got pain. You feel the pain. Now, I'm asking for you because when God takes away the pain, then you can say, wow, he took away the pain. Took away the pain. Just right here, straight line. If y'all can get together, just a straight line so people can get in behind you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. These are people that have pain in their body right now. Pain in their body right now. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for helping us. This is a lot of people right here. This is a lot of people right here. Now, to all of our children and young people, if you're a young boy, a young man, find one of these men and step in behind them. Step in behind them where you can put your hand on their shoulder, whatever. I'm talking about children, teenagers. If you're a young lady, find a lady. Get up here real quick. I would like for every lady that's up here to have at least one lady that's about to pray for them, a young person at first. Every man to have a young man if possible. Praise God. We need some more ladies over here. Is there any more young ladies that can help us right over here? Thank you. Thank you. Children are coming. That's beautiful. Children are coming. Is there any... There's a couple, few men right here. Is there any young people that can help us right now? Right here, there's some men. We just want everybody to have somebody to pray with them, that's all. Very good. Praise God. I feel the power of God here right now. I feel the power of God here right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Brother Ray, would you help me right here? I want to make sure everybody's covered. Praise God. Sister Melissa, would you help me right here? I want to make sure everybody's covered. Praise the name of the Lord. Abby, you're ready. We just want everybody to be covered. This is beautiful. Praise God. Now to all of this church, in just a few minutes, we're going to invite everybody to come that needs a miracle. But because these folks have a situation that they can testify, wow, God just touched me. God just touched me. I want them to be the ones that help to build our faith for what God has done, all right? Now, I'm gonna speak a word of faith. When I speak that word of faith, I want all of you young people that are helping us pray, I want you to speak a word of faith as well. And that may sound like this. I don't wanna give you the words to say, but you wanna say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, I command this pain to go away right now. I command this condition, whatever it is. But all of you that are being prayed for, when we begin to pray, I want you to raise your hands and raise your voice and just begin to thank the Lord for your healing right now. Church, would you help us pray by the authority of the word of God and by the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ? We rebuke every sickness. We rebuke every condition that brings pain right now. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go. In the name of Jesus, we command it to flee. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Now, if you're being prayed for, I want you to open your voice and from your heart begin to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for taking the pain away. Thank the Lord for giving you the miracle right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against this pain in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. By the authority of the word of God, I take authority over this condition. I speak healing in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice in worship. Lift your voice in praise. Lift your voice in worship. Lift your voice in praise. Lift your voice in worship. Lift your voice in praise.
And it will be given to you.
Jesus.
Sing and you
Jesus.
Will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Just as. Just
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We love you for it, God. We love you for it, God.
Knock and the door will be open to you. Just as. Just as. Everyone who sees will
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Now we prayed the prayer of faith. A lot of people have prayed. I want all over the sanctuary right now. I want us all to clap our hands and shout unto God and thank Him for answering prayer. Shout unto God with your voice. Thank you for answering prayer. Shout unto God with your voice. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen closely.